Thank you, Brian. If you have not already turned in your Bibles to the book of 1 John, I would invite you to do so. At first, I thought it was very odd to be finishing up a series on gossip on the first Sunday of Advent. But the Lord has his way of doing all sorts of different things in and through us, and we usually focus on particular themes, and we'll be doing that in the upcoming weeks. Love, faith, peace, joy are the four that we usually do during Advent. And it's getting colder out. There's some snow on the ground. There's some snow on the way. It feels a little more like Christmas time after Thanksgiving. I'm sure that a lot of us have busyness in our future here, shopping to do and family get-togethers to plan and attend and those kinds of things, homework assignments, projects that are due before breaks, and just looking forward to all kinds of different things. But as we approach the end of this sermon series on gossip, you'll notice that the title in your bulletin says regret. And it might make a little bit more sense as we proceed this morning. A couple of weeks ago, a couple of Saturdays, I think it was. Could have been last Saturday. I don't know. Been a busy time. Andrew and I were up in a deer stand, pretty high off the ground. We call it the Taj Mahal. It's awesome. It's about 14, 15 feet off the ground, glass all the way around. It's really cool. And the deer, they don't really care that you're there. They don't know. They come through all different directions. And there was a buck that came up through a little late in the day. Or no, was it the morning, Andrew? I think it was the morning. It was in the morning. It was in the morning. And Andrew wanted a doe this year, so this was mine. And I was on the west corner. I'm sorry, the east corner. And he was kind of moving through. A pretty big buck. It could have been 6-8 pointer. I'm not sure. But he was a little far away. And he was presenting real well. And he stopped just before this scrub brush, this row of trees. And I got a bead on him pretty good. And he was presenting really well. I had him. And I started to pull the trigger. And just as I'm pulling the trigger, he turns away from me and starts moving in that direction. And I pull the trigger anyways. And I don't know if I've hit him. Kind of jumped a little, but then went off into the scrub brush, and I thought, oh, if I have hit him, I hit him in the rear quarter and probably a gut shot, and it's just going to be a mess. Oh. And Andrew, you can talk to Andrew about this. We stood up, we unloaded the guns, we went down to go look for him, and then I said, no, let's go back up. So we went back up, and I sat there, and I stewed about it for, oh, good half hour, 45 minutes, an hour, because I did not want that animal to be bleeding, and it was just a bad shot. Should have never have taken it. I felt awful. But what could I do? How could I bring the bullet back? Once you pull the trigger, and the hammer comes down on the back of it, you can't take it back. There's no way to do that. It's impossible. Superman can't fly around the earth and make it spin backwards so that Lois Lane comes back to life. I'm sorry, I just dated myself, really. That's pretty bad. There is an ancient proverb, it's an Oriental, that says, and you can write this down in your notes. I would like you to write this down in your notes. It's the only thing I learned in ninth grade history. Even the swiftest horse cannot overtake the word once spoken. Once words fly from our mouths, there's no way to retract them. They are there. There's even a theory that says that sound waves never disappear. They do get minimalized, and the waves of those sounds are inaudible, but that they never disappear fully. So every word that has ever been spoken or broadcast is out there somewhere. So I took the shot and regretted it. In this series, we have been doing this for 4 weeks. The first week was to recognize what gossip is. It's bad news, sharing bad news, bearing bad news behind someone's back from a bad heart. And I've interacted with a number of people on this issue over the past few weeks, and will again the next time we do this. Considering what is and isn't gossip, what is and isn't a bad heart, how it is that the Lord is convicting people of the way they do speak about people and the help that they want and those kinds of things. But we recognize it. It's bearing bad news behind someone's back from a bad heart. And it doesn't have to be an overly malicious heart or a murderous heart or a vengeful heart. I mean, those are part of it, but it can just simply not be from a heart of a love for Christ and that person that we share those things. The second week, we talked about how to resist. What are the things that we can do to put in place as conversations are happening, because that sign doesn't go off above our head that says, warning, the conversation you're about to partake of contains sinful gossip. How can we resist? And the catchphrase, and I still believe this and want to reiterate it, if you don't have anything nice to say, talk about Jesus. Do it on your Facebook, on your Twitter feeds, on what, if you don't have anything nice to say about someone, talk about Jesus. In his book, Resisting Gossip, Pastor Matt Mitchell shares that there was a couple that committed themselves not to talk about anybody that wasn't in their presence. They ran out of stuff to talk about really quickly. Got really quiet in their house. Bad news behind someone's back from a bad heart. If you can't say anything nice, talk about Jesus. And then that's just minor steps to take. And then last week we took a look at responding to gossip. When you are the victim, when it's directed at you, how hurtful it can be. And not play some kind of plastic Jesus game where we put up a front like water on a duck's back that it doesn't hurt us. I mean, if you can do that, God bless you. Really. I mean, that's wonderful. And you should overlook sin. Love covers a multitude of sin. It's very true. If you're there and you can do that in your faith, that's wonderful. And you should. But David, we took a look at one of his psalms. And the very first thing he did when those lips spoke against him, he went to the Lord. He asked God for justice. He prayed. And that is the first step of responding well when sinful gossip is directed in your direction. But, beloved, unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, depending on how you're looking at it this morning, we gossip. We do it more often than we know. Because our hearts are deceitful. And it tricks us. We think we're coming from a good heart and we're not. We examine our motives and we find out, yeah, I actually did want to hurt that person back. I did want to retaliate. Or yeah, I felt it was my right to gossip about that person and say something bad about them to somebody else. Or we lie to ourselves and, oh, I'd share this in front of them if they were standing right here. Oh, really? We do gossip. And in some of the conversations I've had with some of you, you have come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit about the words that have escaped from your mouth. First of all, don't brush it off. Don't minimize gossip with excuses. Oh, it wasn't that bad, or they'll never find out, and I won't repeat it to anyone, and I'll never do it again. Don't make excuses for your sin. Doesn't matter what the excuse is, beloved. Oh, you don't know how bad they hurt me. I don't care how bad they hurt you. I mean, I do, for your heart's sake, but that doesn't give you the right to sin. There's never a rationale for sin. Sin is dumb. But we are, you know how the Bible calls us sheep? We're sheep and he's the good shepherd. Do you know what sheep do? You can take all of the intelligence of mankind, and I've used this before, so bear with me, and you can pile it up here, and it's all just one big... That's all we got. All like sheep, we have gone astray. But don't make excuses for your sin if it's gossip. We saw in Romans that it's worthy of death. We'll look at that again in a minute. Don't brush it off and say, well, I'm just going to try harder next time. I'm not going to worry about this one conversation that I'm being convicted about my sin of gossip, and the next time when it comes to talk about this, I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to repeat it, and, you know, we pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, and we move forward, and we just don't look behind us, Hakuna Matata, and we just keep going forward without ever dealing with that sin. Don't. And finally, don't brush it off and sear your conscience. If your heart is soft towards the Lord and to His Holy Spirit about your gossip, whether you're 6 or 600, doesn't matter. Remember, young people, how I said that you have a competition to see who can get to the playground attendant first to tattletale on somebody? That's gossip. Now, granted, if somebody's about to hurt themselves or hurting somebody else, yeah, you do need to stand up for them. But just to go and tattletale on little Jimmy because he won't share and he said a bad word, that's your gossip. Nobody appointed you, Holy Spirit, to go and tell the authorities about Jimmy's bad behavior. I understand it happens, but you're sharing bad news about Jimmy behind his back from a bad heart, wanting him to get in trouble. Don't sear your conscience if the Holy Spirit is telling you that what you just said or what you said a week ago or what you just posted is sinful gossip. Don't sear your conscience. A hard heart takes a lot of work to come back from. And I think from our passage today and what we'll see here in the next few minutes is that God is able to heal and to change and to forgive all of us. God is able to heal us, to change us, and to forgive us of our sins. Keep your finger in 1 John. Well, no, just stay in 1 John. I'll do that. It's okay. Romans, if you want to write this down, 1:18. Now, I know we preached on this like 9 years ago. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. And just as they, jumping down to verse 28, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do the things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips. Slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful, and although they know the ordinance of God that those who practice such things are worthy of death. Gossip is a sin worthy of death. Gossip hurts. You can write this down, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. There is one who speaks rashly like the thrusts of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. A gossip speaks rashly, and like the thrust of the sword, does damage. It hurts. And like we've said earlier, the swiftest horse cannot overtake the word once spoken. You can't take it back. So what can we do? Buckle up. What can we do? It's escaped our mouths, we've done the damage, and now we regret in our hearts because of the Holy Spirit what we have said. Can be instantaneous, it can be weeks, months, days, hours, minutes later. What do? We repent. All sin needs to be repented of. And we think, wrongly, that repentance means feeling sorry. No, that's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes on us and we feel sorry, even a godly sorrow, that's not repentance. Repentance is turning away from the sin and turning towards God. 2 Corinthians 12, 20 and 21. The Corinthians were a seriously flawed church. And Paul interacts with them on many occasions to help them grow and change in Christ. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 20 and 21. Let's start at verse 19. All this time you have been thinking that we are defending ourselves to you. Actually, it is in the sight of God that we have been speaking in Christ and all for your upbuilding, beloved. For I am afraid that perhaps when I come, I may find you to be not what I wish, and may be found by you to be not what you wish. That perhaps there will be strife, jealousy, angry tempers, disputes, slanderers, gossip, arrogance, disturbances. I am afraid that when I come again, my God may humiliate me before you, and I may mourn over many of those who have sinned in the past and not repented of the impurity, immorality, and sensuality which they have practiced. Paul said, if I come, God might humble me because you have not repented of your sin. It is serious, this sin of gossip, and it needs to be turned away from. The only way forward and what we can do is to repent, to change directions, to turn from sin towards God. And in repentance, we confess. Confession, beloved, if nobody has ever taught you how to confess, we're going to go down this rabbit trail for a minute. Because confession isn't saying, I'm sorry. That's part of it. Going to someone that you've hurt and saying, I'm sorry, I'll never do that again. I mean, we definitely want that as parents from our children when they do wrong. God wants that from us when we do wrong. But you know how that goes, right? I mean, just, I'm sorry, and we think it's done. One and done, right? Confession, the word actually means complete agreement. Saying I'm sorry doesn't quite cover it. It's part of it, and it needs to be done in repentance, the apology. But confession is complete agreement. And so when you and I stand before God in our prayer closet here today, wherever it is, and the Holy Spirit has convicted us, and we want to repent of our sins, when we go to Him to confess our sins, we completely agree with God all the way to the roots of the issue. That means we do the hard work of the introspection and find out really what was in our hearts and say, you know what, God? What I just said was sinful gossip, and I agree with you completely that that's a sin worthy of death, and mean this from the heart. I know that your word tells us not to do that, and that it comes from my sinful flesh, not making excuses for what I've done. I have completely sinned against you, Lord, in sharing that little tidbit of information that wasn't mine to share. And I know it's worthy of death, Lord, but in my heart, I wanted to hurt that person who was created in your image. And that's further sin on my behalf, on my part. And I know that that's wrong. I agree with you, Lord, that what I have done is even worse than that. In wanting to retaliate, I have overtaken your role as the judge of all the earth and put myself on the throne as the judge and arbiter of all that is right and wrong. Do you want me to stop? That's confession. Confession is full and all the way down deep to the roots. And the further you go, beloved, the more there is. What can we do? We repent, we confess, and if possible, we wisely retract if we can. Matt shares an example in his book. We do the shaking of the hands at the end of service, you know, and everybody, well, most people come up and pass a great sermon. I've never preached a bad sermon here. I don't know what that is, but it's just a wonderful sermon. Or they talk about the weather, you know, pray for me this or that. And that's all very meaningful and very good, whatever it is. I don't mean to make little of that. But Matt shares shares an account of where a man came up to him after service and said to him, "Pastor, I've been gossiping about you. And I'm sorry. I should not have done it." And he confesses to Matt about that. Okay, after you pick me up off the floor, if you say that to me, the man continued to go on and say, "And I'm going to go to every person that I poisoned against you and confess my sin to them and ask for their forgiveness, and I ask for yours." What's a pastor going to say? "No, I can't forgive you." That's repentance, beloved. That's faith in action. That's godly sorrow, moving someone to repent of their sin. Now, I said wisely retract. Because if you do go to everybody that you could do further damage. So let's say, I don't know, tomorrow morning, after the Vikings lose again today, you gossip about somebody in the news that you don't really have an association with from a really bad heart. And you get convicted by the Lord that you shouldn't talk about the person. That we're going to do, write a letter and say, "You don't know me, but I gossip about you all the time and I'm really sorry." Just confess it to God and let it go and don't do it again. That's not wise. It's not wise to go and do that. Because you're possibly creating more damage than doing good. They have no idea you sinned against them. You didn't hurt them. You simply gossiped. But if you can, if it's possible and if it's wise, retract as much as you can. Even the swiftest horse can't overtake the word once spoken. You can't change that. But you can change the way you talk in the future by dealing with what you've already said. So the wise is if it doesn't do more damage. Repent, confess, wisely retract, and here it is. Here's why it fits today. Here's why it's an Advent sermon. Here's why it's an understanding. Be cleansed. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." If we confess our sins, if we go to God and are completely in agreement that what we've done is sin, when David in Psalm 51 was convicted by the Holy Spirit and repented of his sin, Uriah was dead, the baby was on the way, the baby was going to die at birth. And David has the audacity to say in Psalm 51, "Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight." Was David rationalizing what he did against Uriah and Bathsheba? That child did nothing to merit death. David says in another portion of Scripture, "I know that when I die, I will go see him." That child did nothing and is in heaven, and David knew that he would go there to see him after death. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight? Absolutely. Every sin is against God. Even when we're gossiping about one another and directed towards one another, that is a sin against God, and God forgives. God is the only one that can forgive. You and I mimic, reflect the forgiveness of God by asking for forgiveness from one another. But I don't have the ability to forgive you of your sins. I can't wash it away and clean you. I can release it and not hold it against you and love you in Christ, but I don't have the ability to forgive and cross out the penalty of your sin. Only God can do that. So that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And that's just not gossip. That's the anger we have towards one another in the body of Christ. That's the disagreement, the bitterness, the way in which we hold grudges against each other, the way we remember what happened 30 years ago on a baseball diamond that prevents us from fellowshipping with one another now. That one time where we were cut off in traffic by somebody of our congregation, and it still is stuck in our throats. God, if we confess our sins, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wash me with hyssop and I shall be whiter than snow. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. My little children, beloved, those whom I love in Christ, who smile in laughter, bring me great joy, who I walk up to and rub your head and look at you and smile. I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. The reason why we are to be faithful to God's word, and he wrote it to us, John wrote it to those whom he was writing to, so that they may not sin. And if anyone sins, if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the full payment that makes God agreeable and favorable to us. He is the one who took upon himself all of the wrath of God that was being revealed against all the unrighteousness of men for our sins. And not only ours only, but also for those of the whole world. You see, Jesus, when he paid the penalty for sin, he paid for it all. That does not mean that everyone is forgiven their sins like just a whitewashed brush. Like Jesus paid it and we don't have to worry about it. This is not a teaching about universal salvation. No matter what, everybody goes to heaven. Even Hitler. I don't know why we use him. Even Genghis Khan. I don't know. For those who believe in Christ, the blood of Christ cleanses us and washes away our sins. But if you do sin, and you do, and I do, we are not preaching some kind of gospel here that says, just behave better next time and believe the right things and you're in. The gospel for the salvation of sins is Jesus Christ's blood shed on the cross. Whether it's gossip, whether it's lying, whether it's anger, whether it's adultery, whether it's whatever it is, Jesus Christ died for that sin to be washed away. And in a few minutes, we're going to come before God taking a little juice and a little bread, and that's what we need to remember. That's what we need to recall. That's what we need to meditate on, so that when we partake of the body and blood of Jesus Christ, we are saying to Almighty God, I get it. I am a sinner in need of salvation and your grace. And yes, I have faith. I have trusted in Jesus Christ and my sins are forgiven, but I sin every single day and I need to be cleansed. God, have mercy on my soul. Are you willing to say that? Are you willing to face your gossip with regret and allow the Holy Spirit, and move in the direction the Holy Spirit is moving you in to repent of your sin, whatever it is, not just gossip. That just happens to be the tag for the day. But you see, that candle burns there because Christ has come to set us free from our sins and cleanse us. And so we repent, we confess, and we are cleansed by his blood. That's what we preach. Because God is able to heal and to change and forgive. Amen? Amen. And so we come before